Nehemiah chapter 2, I'm going to get right in on this theme that we're emphasizing this month on this matter of organization. And I believe this will be one of the most helpful months, I mean this, in your own personal life, in those of you that are involved in ministry here, and also in your home life. I think that organization, let me just say this. Here's the name of the message tonight. Rubbish, the enemy of productivity. Rubbish, the enemy of productivity. So we're in Nehemiah chapter number 2. And let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Let's look down at verse number 11, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I, some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, notice, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Now let's go over to chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 1, chapter 4, verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And then if you'll look over to verse number 10. Verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Rubbish, the enemy of productivity. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Lord, we want to accomplish. Lord, we want to be productive in this year. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this very important month as we look at this very, very solid Bible principle, dear God, this matter of organization. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says that all things should be done decently and in order. Nehemiah was commissioned by God to lead a handful of Israelites to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. He surveys the situation in chapter 2. That's what we read. And one of the things he notices is that the stones of the previous wall was broken down and the rubble from the former gates littered the building site. These obstacles rose up, and here's the word, rose up in heaps, according to chapter 4, verse 2. In chapter 4, verse 10, the children of Judah complained that there was much rubbish and that it was hindering the efforts to rebuild the wall. These towering heaps of destruction covered the foundation upon which a new wall needed to rest. Before there could be the new, there had to be a clearing of the cluttered old. We are talking, taken as our theme for this month, the month of January, a heart for organization, a heart for home, a heart for organization. Clutter and rubbish prevent progress. Clutter and rubbish is the enemy of productivity. A new year cannot be built upon a solid foundation as long as the foundation remains littered with debris. Before we can launch into a plan of action, we need to unclutter our lives. Now, let me just say this. Let's make a spiritual application. Because we are talking about the heart. And folks, listen to me. The heart is the heart of the matter. So let's make a quick spiritual application. Then the rest of the time, I'm going to give you very, very practical instruction. For some of you, it may seem elementary. But I'll promise you this. For most of us, even if we know it, it'd be good if we started doing it. Amen? First of all, let's check our hearts. If we're going to develop a heart for home, then let's make sure our hearts are first clear and clean. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep there means to guard, and it also carries the idea of maintaining it. Guard your heart and maintain your heart. As you enter into a new year, make sure that the rubbish has been removed. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't allow any unconfessed sins of 2016 to clutter up your soul and prevent all that God wants to do with you in 2017. That just makes good sense right there. And so let's take this spiritual application. Let's first of all make sure our hearts are clear and our hearts are clean before the Lord. But tonight, I want to take this Bible principle and use it in a very practical matter in this matter of organization. Now, I'm going to emphasize tonight four areas that I think that we ought to get organized. And we're going to work on these four areas during this month. Here they are, all right? We want to work on our time or our schedule, organizing our time. Number two, we want to organize our homes and our workspaces. Number three, we need to organize our ministry and our ministry responsibilities. And number four, this is a big one, make sure that you spend January organizing your finances. So we're going to work on those four areas. We're going to kind of look at them. But tonight, I'm not going to try to get in any of these real deeply as far as individually as much as I am saying this. Let's first take these four areas and look for the rubbish. And make sure that we remove the rubbish that may be preventing us from going forward in these areas of life. So these four areas that we're going to organize, we're going to check for clutter and check for rubbish and start 2017 by removing the rubbish, Well, I'm going to give you practical things tonight. Number one, remove the rubbish from your schedule. Now, this coming Sunday, I've asked you to make sure that by then you get you a calendar. And I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do detailed teaching on scheduling your time this coming weekend. So I'm not going to go deeply into this point tonight. But I would encourage you that before you can organize your schedule, the first thing you've got to do is be willing to pick up the rubbish or remove the rubbish that may have cluttered up your life and cluttered up your schedule. Now listen to me. Everyone's schedule picks up rubbish throughout the year. Everybody's schedule picks up rubbish. Everybody's life, all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you've picked up some things that's taking your time that honestly shouldn't be taking your time. Now, as a preacher, well, help me. How do I identify these things? Be more specific, okay? Watch this. How does this happen? Well, we allow things to take our time that do not advance our goals. Now watch this, folks. This is key. You've got to decide what goals you want to accomplish in life. You've got to decide what God's called you to do and what God wants you to accomplish with your life. And then the honest truth is, it's great to take the time. And I've done it before. I've done it with our students out in the school. I've done it here in the auditorium before. I've challenged you to have short range and mid range and long term goals. But you know what? You can come up with all those lists and say, this is what I want to accomplish. But if you are spending your time in other things other than what will advance the accomplishment of those goals, then what you're doing is you're just moving around piles of rubbish. And you're not advancing what God's called you to do. By the way, I don't want to just pass that up. I'm not going to preach on it tonight, but have some goals. I mean, folks, listen, I believe this with all my heart. Look at me. I can help you. One of the primary reasons that people are depressed in this day and age is because they're living purposeless lives. Okay? I mean, what is your purpose? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you going to accomplish by God's grace? What are you doing that matters for eternity? And you know what? If we don't settle those things and start towards those things, then why and how is our Christian life any different than the life of a lost person? Okay, so think about that. First of all, you've got to get some goals. Secondly, make sure that your time is not being eaten up by things that do not advance those goals. And so, number one, how does these things happen? How does it happen that this rubbish has gotten to our life? Well, we allow things to take our time that doesn't advance our goals. Number two, we assume responsibilities that are not ours. Okay, and some of you are just such, I mean this, you're such good people and you have such a heart to help others. But you know, the honest truth is if you're not careful, you're really not helping other people, you're enabling other people. All right? If it's somebody else's job to do something and you assume responsibility and start doing it, you really aren't helping that person. Okay? And so some of the honest things you've got to look at, like, well, preacher, you just don't understand. I hear this so much. I'm just so busy. I mean, I don't have a time. Well, wait a minute. What are you doing that really you should not be doing? What is it that you've assumed that really is somebody else's responsibility? Okay, so think about those things. We assume responsibilities that are not ours. I'm going to be more specific in a minute on that. Number three, we become addicted to activities that are time wasters. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of things that you can get addicted to that take up, you know, at first it took up just a little time, then it grows. And the next thing you know, it starts taking up more and more time. Let me add this point. We allow pleasurable diversions to become pleasurable addictions. Now look right up here, and I'm going to tell you something. I think everybody ought to have some pleasurable diversions. But that's something that you break away from every once in a while to do. But you know what? That's more fun most of the time than what you should be doing. So it's easy to say, well, preacher, I'm just going, and I do this. I think one of the reasons that I don't need a lot of vacation time is that I put in little mini 5-minute, 10-minute vacations into every day. I'm not against you taking a few minutes, and you know what, folks, sometimes you get so into it, you need to stop and break, okay, and then come back and hit it. You know, I think everybody's different, but I think most of us are that away. The only problem is if you're working an hour, taking a pleasurable diversion for 10 minutes and working for an hour, at least that's the way it was 6 months ago. Now you are working 10 minutes. All right. I think I'll just get online and check, and then 2 hours later you're doing what? And so, you know, be honest with yourself. Look at your situation, because I'm talking about removing the rubbish. We watch this. We become addicted to activities that are time wasters. We associate with people who are time wasters. Now, please don't get your feelings hurt here. But, you know, well, people are important. Yeah, they are. They are. But you know what? People, if you're not careful, can waste your time. Okay? There's people that have a life. Then there's people that don't have a life. Not because they can't have a life, but because they choose not to have a life. So because they don't have a life, they want to come and take all of my life. Now, I'm all for, listen, I'm going to be very careful with this as far as being a pastor. I'm here for my people. I want to be here for my people. And if you need something, you know you can count on your pastor. But the thing about it is, folks, I don't have a lot of time just to set and waste. I think the Bible tells us to redeem the time, not waste the time. Okay, so if somebody in your life becomes a time waster, I mean, you know what? You look at the phone and it's them. And you know, I better have an hour, I better not answer this. Okay? And you know what? You can be nice, but at the same time, everybody's going to make decisions. Well, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Then you're probably not going to accomplish much in 2017. You know, sometimes somebody calls me and they're that type of a person. And I'll answer and say, listen, I'll say, hey, how you doing? I said, listen, I've got something coming up. I got about 3 or 4 minutes. What you need? Okay, I've just now started the clock. I'm talking about learning how to manage people, okay? You say, that's rude. There's nothing rude about it. What's rude is calling somebody just to waste their life, okay? So what you've got to do is be nice, but also not become victim to that. So a lot of times what you have to do is you just have to honestly be honest with people and just say, you know, you say, preacher, what do you have in 5 minutes? I'm going back to whatever I was doing before they called. So, okay, I don't have to make up something. I'm always doing something. I understand why people do this, but I do it. I'll call somebody and I'll say, are you busy? I think that's the dumbest question you can ever ask anybody in their life. You know, if you ask me if I'm busy, would you really be happy if I said, no, I'm just sitting here with my feet on my desk, twiddling my thumbs, sticking pencils in the ceiling, hoping you'd call? I mean, you know, well, of course I'm busy. My answer usually when someone asks me, well, yeah, I'm busy, but not too busy for a few minutes. What you need? Did you hear what I just said? Not too busy for a few minutes. What you need? Now, if you've got a heartache and you've got counseling, something that's going to take some time, let's schedule, let's do it, let's take the time. But if you're not careful, folks, you spend your life, because you're nice. You're nice people. So you spend your life getting your life taken away from you by people who don't have a life. And so what I'm saying is, all of that you got to get out. Okay, what's not advancing your goals but are taking a lot of your time? What responsibilities are you assuming that aren't your responsibilities? Okay, who are you enabling instead of really helping? Okay, what have you become addicted to that is a time waster, or who are you associating with that are time wasters, and maybe you haven't known how to handle that? Well, I hope I helped you tonight. So number one, remove the rubbish from your schedule, and then Sunday we're going to teach a lot more about schedule and time. Number two, remove the rubbish from your home and your workspace. Your home and your workspace. Now, I'm going to really help you here, and I'm going to help you husbands to help the wives, and I really want to help our ladies, okay? One of the key points of frustrations in a lady's life, a wife's life, is if she cannot keep her home organized. And so that becomes a frustration point. A lot of times that spills over into the husband where he becomes frustrated. Okay, he doesn't want to come home to a place that looks like a hurricane. And ma'am, look at me, he shouldn't have to. He shouldn't have to, okay? And so there has to be, at some point, a time when you learn to get a hold of that home situation. Now, ladies, you're the primary on this, but I'm also going to talk to the men about this because there are things you can do that can help your wives, all right? Now, you say, well, preacher, I'm gone all the time. Well, there's a little phrase in the Bible called keepers at home, and that is a title assigned to ladies, not to men. Okay, so it's not your husband's responsibility to keep the home. It's your responsibility to keep the home, okay? But men, there's some things that you can do to help the ladies. Now, let me give you practical stuff. Preacher, you're right. My home, I've lost control. Here's what people say sometimes. I don't know where to start. Okay, I'm going to tell you where to start. You ready to write it down? All right. Organize your home. I don't know where to start. Start with your closets. Start with your closet. That's the assignment this week. Closets. We're going to tackle closets. All right. Okay. You need to go and just deal with the closets. That's it. Deal with the closets. You say, what do you mean? I mean, take everything out of them. You just stand and look what it looks like empty. Now you've just made more clutter, preacher. I know, but we're going to take care of that clutter in a minute. But you're not going to unclutter it until you empty it. I thought we said something about removing the rubbish. And by the way, folks, if you've got five times the stuff that ought to fit in that closet, you can't find anything. And so you get it all out. And when you see it, you're going to think, how in the world did all that fit in there? What is going on? And by the way, most of that stuff shouldn't fit back in there, probably. All right? So you start with your closets. All right, so you've emptied a closet. Now, before you start filling it back up, husbands, are you listening? You wait till hubby gets home, and then he's going to look at the pile in the middle of the floor, and he's going to look at that closet, and you're going to go over. By the way, this is what you do first. You meet him at the door with a big kiss, all right? You meet him at the door with a big kiss, and immediately he'll be suspicious, but he'll probably still enjoy it. I mean, you know, maybe. Maybe something good's about to happen. Maybe this isn't a trick for once, but it is. It's a trick. And then you take him by the hand and you lead him over to this closet. And you say, see this and see that? I've got a problem. And you know what? I am frustrated and I want to get organized. And so I need some help. Now, men, this is where your skill set comes in. Most closets are not arranged in such a way where they maximize storage. And so there's something called a shelf. And you need to build shelves in that closet, okay? Gentlemen, this is what you need to do, all right? She's trying to be a keeper at home, but you haven't set the home up that helps her to be in such a way that helps her to organize it properly. So you're going to assist her in getting organized by you're going to build shelves, all right? Now, if you don't know how to do that, then I did see online one time where they have, guy started that business called Husbands for Rent or something like that, wasn't it? I'm not saying you ought to go on that site. I'm just saying, gentlemen, listen to me. You either do it or if you're incapable of doing it, and we are talking about a board that you cut and these little things that go like this and about four screws, okay? But if you're incapable of that, you need to not say, well, I just can't do it. You need to either do it or get somebody else to do it for your wife. Don't put that back on her, okay? Most of the men in my church are looking at me so disappointed right now. Everything I had planned for January is disappearing right now. Yeah, but we're going to get organized, amen? We're going to get organized, and you want to be a blessing to your wife. All right, gentlemen, say, repeat after me, all right? Happy wife, happy life. Let's try it again. Happy wife, happy life. Build shelves. See, you think your wife wants chocolates and flowers. She doesn't want chocolates. She doesn't want flowers. She wants shelves. All right? She wants shelves. That's what she wants. And so you're going to build her shelves. Now, gentlemen, you're going to look at what she has, because you're the brains of the operation, and you're going to figure out the width of the shelves and what she's going to need in order to be able to organize that as best as possible, okay? So you're going to build the shelves and reorganize the closet, and now ladies, what do I do while she's doing that? While he's doing that, you're going to go and buy plastic totes, all right? Plastic totes, you know what I'm talking about, plastic storage containers. And you're going to build them, buy them a certain size, because they're going to be the same size that he's going to build the shelf, okay? In fact, you might want to buy them before you kiss him and bring him to the closet so he knows how big to build the shelves. But we're not going to just shove stuff back on those shelves. We're going to organize things and put them in totes. And then you have a marker and you write on the outside. Actually, if you get clear totes, it's a lot easier because you can kind of at least see. But still, I'd write on the outside of the totes what's in each one. And then that way you're, and by the way, you would be surprised, gentlemen. I know we're having fun with this. How much your wife appreciates what I'm talking about right now. Just helping her get her life organized, okay? Now, you got totes ready, and then now you're ready to look back at the pile, and the shelves are built, and the totes are waiting, and you've got this pile. Now, listen, but when you begin to go through this pile, okay, men, I promise you, I'll make this up to you sometime, I promise you, but a lot of things that are being stored inside, ladies, and this will help you unclutter your life, can be stored outside. Now, there's some things that aren't going to take weather change well. But if there's a lot of stuff that you have and you only got a limited amount of closet space, then you fill up some totes and you set them by the front door, and that's for hubby to go out and take to the outbuilding and find a place for them to go out there. And that's going to help unclutter your life. Now, you men are panicking right now because you're thinking, preacher, I only have a certain amount of storage. We haven't got to the outbuildings yet. We're going to get to your outbuilding. We're going to get there, I promise you. Ladies, gentlemen, listen to me. Most of the clutter comes from things that could be thrown away. All right. Now, a lot of that stuff in that pile right there, the honest truth is, if you haven't worn it in 2 years, you probably aren't going to wear it. I always think this. Every time I see a suit coat or something and I almost pick it up and then I don't wear it, or every time I reach for a tie and then if I've done that 15 times, there's something in my brain that won't let me wear that tie. So why is it hanging there? Okay? I mean, you've got so much space to hang clothes and this much of it, and part of this you haven't worn a year. That needs to disappear. That should not go back in the closet, okay? And so we're going to only put back things that don't need to be thrown away. Now, I've got you started. Closets, number one. Shelving, number two. All right. Now, before we get away from shelves, gentlemen, while you're building all those shelves in the closet, she's going to be also checking out some other areas of the house where it would be helpful to have some shelves, okay? Because you've become the shelf master now, and you've got it down. Her laundry room, you know, she keeps moving. I mean, the entire top of the dryer is full of stuff. Why is that there? Okay, is there a shelf there? If there's a shelf there, couldn't that all go up on the shelf? And wouldn't that make her life easier? So you're going to be doing a lot of shelves. Preacher, I came here to learn the Bible. You are learning the Bible. Let all things be done decently. And I'm telling you, folks, God's an organized God. And you know what? Cleanliness is next to godliness. But let me tell you what's even closer than cleanliness. Organization. Organization. And so you're going to help your wives by you're going to go into, matter of fact, just go around and look in every room that is not a main room, every storage type room. Come on, gentlemen, let's help our wives out and let's look at this situation and say, if I built a set of shelves there, and if you get the material and you in advance and you do the measuring, I'm not talking about something that should take you a week. If you give her a day, and by the way, you know where your heart's going to be? Where your treasure is. You know what? To your wife, this is as much or more important than a date. Okay? Because you're helping to take frustration out of her life. And so you build shelves. Okay? So we've started with the closets, and now we've built shelving in the closets, and now we've gone to every other room where there needs to be shelves or a shelving unit of some kind, and we either build them or buy them and put them in for them. And then, ladies, I'm switching back to you now. Next, tackle the dress. Okay, I've got the closets, and I've got things reorganized, and I've thrown away what needs to be thrown away. What's next? Next, after you get the closets, tackle dressers and toy boxes. All right, dressers. I'm talking about when you're trying to put the clothes in the dresser, and you have to cram it like this. But watch this. The dresser's this deep. In 2 years, you've never gone deeper than this. So there's something holding up those clothes that won't go in. What is there? Well, I might wear that sometime if they have a 1980s party at the church. Okay. We're not going to have a 1980s party at the church. We're certainly not having a 1970s party. I don't know what happened in that decade, but people lost their minds in that decade. And so all of that stuff that's holding up the stuff you actually wear, it needs to go somewhere. Now, there's a place called Goodwill. And I really mean this. You know what? There's people that could use that stuff. And so you go through the dressers next. And by the way, if this isn't done every single year, at least once a year, you've got clutter problems. It just needs to be done. Well, we're talking about getting organized here. And so tackle the dressers and go through the dressers, each and every dresser drawer. Every single time me and Cheryl do this, you know what? I all of a sudden realize that when I get everything back that really should be in my dresser after a year that wasn't my dresser, it is usually less than half as full as it was. And by the way, teenagers, I hope you're paying attention to that. Because you know what? This is good for you to learn at your age. This is something mommy should not be doing in your room for you. This is something you should be doing for yourself. If you don't learn, young ladies, to be organized at your age, then you are not going to run an organized home one of these days. And that is more important than a volleyball trophy. All right, or how many Facebook friends you have. Or all the other nonsense that's taken up our young ladies' time. Okay, mom, if you have a girl, everything that I'm telling you to do, sissy ought to be right there with you helping. So she's not only helping, but she's learning how to do this for her own home one of these days. Okay, so we're tackling dressers, and we've done that. How about toy boxes? Now, it's definitely a time for a trip to Goodwill. Okay, my wife was great at this. About twice a year, she would take black plastic bags and she would go into the kids' playroom when they were taking naps. And you know, we don't talk about it here and we don't believe in it here. We don't promote the guy that shows up and comes down the chimney and brings toys. But me and Cheryl did invent a character that comes down the chimney and steals toys. And he doesn't do it once a year. He does it twice a year. It's the toy boogeyman, and that's his name, the toy boogeyman. What happened to this? The toy boogeyman got it, I guess. I don't know. Must have been the toy boogeyman. I don't know. I don't know why our kids always had nightmares, but anyway. Now, listen, you know what? Remember how excited they were when they first got that toy a year ago? When's the last time they played with it? Okay, guess what? Goodwill would love to have it. By the way, don't give them trash. Don't give them junk. There's a trash pile, and then there's a thing that you can take that people will use, okay? So take care of your own trash. Don't make Goodwill your dumpster to dispose. I mean that. Good night. If you're going to do something good, then do something right. You know, we had somebody leave a couple bags of clothes years ago at the front door of the office of the church with a little note saying, these could probably help poor people. And what somebody basically wanted to do was not have to deal with their trash. I went through about one bag of that. Good night. It was hideous stuff, filthy stuff. I took it and threw it in the dumpster. I guess they decided instead of just using our dumpster, they would have me use the dumpster. But let's not do that. But at the same time, let's take that stuff and put it where it can be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Okay, how are we doing so far? All right. Remove the rubbish from your home and your workspace. Organize your home. Organize your home. Now, ladies, you may have to help your husband with this because he probably doesn't realize a few things. But gentlemen, let's try to realize it so they don't have to help us. How do you keep your home organized once you work hard to get it organized? Husbands, we need to address some bad habits. All right. Is your coming and going out of that home, is your coming and going helping the situation or increasing the problem? Okay. Well, I can't stand coming home to a cluttered house. Okay. Where are you putting your boots when you come home? Where's your dirty clothes going when you take them off? What's the shower look like? Well, no. You didn't marry a maid. You married a wife. She's more than happy to clean up after you and within reason. But you know what? You can make life easier or harder for her. Don't you think it's time to make it easier for her? Okay? Listen, you know, your wife works hard to keep the house nice, and listen, I'm talking about some men been married 10 years, and you still haven't figured out that if you've been out working outside in the mud or in the pasture, you don't just go tromping through the house. Okay? Well, I'd have to unlace my boots. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know? Well, I don't want to do that. Then stand at the front door and tell her what you need if it's something she can easily get and ask her to bring it to you. But don't just walk across. You know, let's be considerate of each other, okay? And your wife will appreciate that. And so I mean that. I think men, we need to consciously over the next several days coming in and out of that lady's house who is the keeper at home. We need to try to make sure that we're conducting ourselves in such a way that's making her life as easy as possible, not as hard as possible. And so let's take a look at our bad habits. Gentlemen, I want you to get done getting ready in the bathroom tomorrow morning, and then before you race out, I want you to turn around and look. Okay, there's not a toothpaste leprechaun. Okay, now come on. All right. Come on. You can open the drawer and put the comb back where you got it. You can open the cupboard and you can put the toothpaste back where you got it. I mean, you're not seven. All right? So let's be a blessing to our wife. Okay? Now, husbands, it's time to change some bad habits. Moms, listen to me. It's time to stop being your children's maid. All right? If we're going to organize our homes, and we're going to take care of our responsibilities. When I'm talking about ladies, if you're going to take care of your responsibilities, it's time to start training that organization and that skill set into your young people. If they're old enough to dump out a toy, they are old enough to be trained to put away that toy. Okay, they are. I mean, even our grandchildren, when they come over, you know what? When they get something out, guess who puts it away? They put it away. We don't put it away. They put it away. Okay? And so if you'll do that and keep after them and train them. Teenagers, again, you can vacuum your room. Mom shouldn't be doing it. Okay? Your dirty clothes, there's a place for them. Get them in that place. Okay? You can make your own bed. All right? I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about elementary students. Okay? You can make your own bed. Well, I've fought that and fought that and fought that. I've tried it with the kids. Now, dads, I'm going to teach you now how you can help your wives right now. If they keep fighting that battle, and you know what? Kids aren't listening. By the way, I'm not going to live in a house where a kid don't listen to her. Now, I am going to live in that house. Let me rearrange that. Somebody's not going to live in a house where any child disrespects her. I told our girls all the way growing up, you know what? There's one queen in this house, and it ain't y'all. All right, how about that? Okay, there was a day when young ladies wanted to be servants. Now they want to be princesses. All right, okay. All right, get away from Hollywood. Get back to the Bible. So children can be trained. And moms, stop enabling them. Now, dads, I'm going to help you. All right, you sit down with your wife. Where's your frustration points? What are the kids doing and what are they not doing? Now, remember this, folks. Clear communication is important here. You can't get mad at a kid for not doing what you haven't been able to make it clear for them to do in a way that they can understand at their age level. For many of them, especially the younger children, you need to come up with a little poster that you put on the back of their room. And you know what? Those are the assignments that they need to do. And by the way, here's a good way to handle it. Dads, when you get home from work, by the time you get home from work, the kids need to have those jobs done. Okay? If they're not listening to mom, they're not doing it, mom, then when you walk in, look at the list on the back of the board, and you look at their room, and if those things aren't done, you just call them in and you say, honey, when's supper? About 30 minutes. My Bible says if a man or a child doesn't work, they don't eat. So there's the list. Get it done. When you get it done, you can come to the table. By the way, I'll be in there eating. Okay? Let's help the moms. Dad's listening to me. The moms shouldn't have to always be the heavy. They're with them all the time. Now, ladies, you have to discipline your children. I'm not putting it all on the dads. But there comes a point in time when the moms start sounding like Charlie Brown's teacher. And they need something to get them focused back on what mom is really saying. That would be a dad. Okay? The worst thing I could ever hear my mom say on any given day of my life, when I'd pushed her to her limits and she just finally very calmly looked at me and said, wait until your dad gets home. And that was the worst thing I could ever hear in my life because I knew dad's homecoming in that driveway was not going to be a happy experience for me. And what are you doing? I'm trying to help you have a happy wife. I'm trying to take frustration out of your home. And so let's get back to being organized. Is this good? It's very good. It really is. All right. Now, moms, it's time to stop being your children's maid. Have expectations. Make sure they're reasonable expectations to their age level. But what they can do, they need to start doing. All right? That's organizing the home. And that's a start. You know, there's people that are more expert on this. And, you know, one of the Bible principles, honestly, folks, is in Titus chapter 2, the younger ladies, the elder ladies teach the younger. And there's a lot of ladies in this room that I watched every checkpoint and I know I've been in their house and almost everything I've described, they're already doing. They've got it and they know stuff I can't even imagine. And if honestly you're having some problems, go to someone who is a success in this area and just say, give me some ideas. All right. Now, organizing our outbuildings and workshop. Now, guys, the honest truth is we're more excited about this than we would be helping mama with the house. But here's the rule. You don't get to go home and do any outbuildings until you get her help in getting her stuff organized, all right? Let's do it that way. Now, you're going to have to now organize your outbuildings and workshop because she has 23 totes of stuff that used to be in the house that she wants you to find room for outside. And you say, "Preacher, I don't have a lot of outbuildings." Well, I haven't either. I mean, until just recently, we had very limited space outdoors, and because of that, I had to keep things organized. Every single year, at least once a year, I'd take our outbuilding, which at that time was very small. I've got a pole barn now that we moved out of the pasture and over, and we've got more organizational space, and it's a blessing, trust me. But you know what? You use whatever you have. Okay, so now how do you start? You gave them a number one with the closets. How do you start organizing your outbuilding and workshop? You start by backing your pickup to the largest door of your outbuilding, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that's thrown from that building right into the back of your pickup truck, and it's going to the landfill. All right? Stop hoarding. Stop hoarding. You know what, folks? What is the enemy of productivity? Rubbish. Rubbish is the enemy of productivity. So back your pickup truck to the door. If you ain't used it in 2 years, you don't need it. So there's two piles. There's stuff you can sell. That goes in one pile. There's stuff that just is junk. Needs to go to the trash. Get rid of it. Take it there. All right? And then organize your stuff. How do you organize it? Same way you helped her organize it. Most places, most shops do not have enough shelves. You need to build, and you can. By the way, they don't have to look as good as they did in the house. Thank goodness. 2x4s, some scrap lumber, and a little bit of time, and measuring. And by the way, some type of totes or containers where you can put stuff and organize stuff. Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time, but once it's there, you know what, and done. Listen, most of us spend more time looking for a tool or tools than we do in completing a job. And at some point, you've got to say, "I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to organize things in such a way so that this rubbish is not an enemy of my productivity." And so there's things to be sold. And by the way, there's a lot of things. Say, "Preacher, but I don't want to throw this away but are you going to use it?" Well, I don't know, and I haven't. Then is it worth something? Well, there's something called Green County Garage Sales. It's online. There's something called Craigslist. I think you got to use those things carefully. Please do some research use some sense. By the way, do a little research and study on the dangers of some of those. Remember, you are meeting complete strangers. There have been bad things happen. But don't let a couple stories keep you. I've sold tons of stuff on Craigslist. Okay, use good sense, use smarts, but you can sell stuff. And by the way, listen, I'll tell you, I when we moved the pole barn from my pasture over by the house and turned it into garage, I got on Craigslist and I found a guy that had the exact garage doors for the opening that I needed. He had three of them. I only needed two. I went and bought three, took the best parts of two of them, put it in, and then I had the other one that had become a pile of rubbish. I started reorganizing my building. I'd move those things around two or three times. I finally moved them out in the middle of the driveway. I assembled them as best I could, loosely, the pieces, the tracks, stood back, took a couple pictures, put it on Craigslist. That pile of rubbish became a $100 bill. Okay, so that's going to help you in a minute when we talk about reorganize or removing the rubbish from your finances. And so, you know, organize your stuff, throw away what needs to be thrown away, build shelving, label things, label containers. You know, if it's electrical, it'd be good if it all went together. If it's plumbing, it'd be good if it all went together. Okay, I mean, whatever, break it down into things that make sense to you. And so we're talking about organizing our lives. This is what I'd like you to spend January doing. I really mean that. We're going to have to stand before the Lord and answer for our time one of these days. I'm already scared of the idea of how much time I'm going to have to answer to God for that was wasted because I wasn't organized. And I'm not perfect at all of this. Trust me, I'm a lot better than I used to be, but I'm not perfect at it. Start organizing things, okay? Number three, we've talked about removing the rubbish from your schedule. Some of you look like you're having a root canal. Removing the rubbish from your home and your workplace. Number three, remove the rubbish from your place of ministry. Now, listen, folks, let's all do this, okay? Preacher, we're going into February now. I'm not going to be able to get this done. Well, you got to start at some things. Whatever, okay, bus ministry people this Sunday, while you're heading to your bus route, it's time to get all the workers up there and let's go through stuff. You never notice that just clutter just grows? It just grows in a church. It just does. I'm like the arch enemy of clutter. If I wasn't the arch enemy of clutter, you would be walking past piles. This would look like one of the hoarder shows on TV. Because wherever there's people that gather, there's clutter. And I'm notorious for it. I'm only going to put up with so much clutter. You know what? When I walk in the front door of that church, and when I get here on Sunday morning, there's certain things I do. One of the first things I do is I go to the front door of the church after I turn the lights and electric on, and I walk through that foyer area as if I was a first-time visitor. And one of the things that I think is a horrible testimony is just piles of junk. Okay? And so that's why those piles disappear. That's one of the reasons I would really encourage our ladies. I know and I appreciate it, and you're bringing stuff for bus kids. But you know, if I walk in on Sunday morning and somebody stacked a bunch of Tupperware on the information desk, I'm not going to let that be the first thing a person sees when they walk in Blessed Hope Baptist Church for the first time. That's a horrible first impression. So if we need to, let's put them around the foyer on a table, or let's put it on the shelf. There's got to be a place I know the ladies go. But at the same time, we just, you know, we have a testimony here. And so that's why the coat rack, every once in a while, just everything's gone. Where's it go? Well, it goes somewhere. But if I didn't do that, I promise you, you wouldn't even be able to hang a coat up here. After 1 year, there would not be one spot to hang a coat. And so I want you to go, Sunday school teachers, let's take a look at your classroom. All right, nursery workers, if there are, you know, Sister Terry, I don't think she's here tonight, but if there are toys that aren't being used or are broken, it's time to get them out of there. Okay? And by the way, just communicate it to me. You know, if we need stuff, we can replace stuff. Whatever we need, we can get. But at the same time, you know, let's take a look in your classroom. What has happened? If there's stacks against the wall, why are there stacks against the wall? And, you know, so just take a look at everything. Your bus ministry, on our buses, let's make them sharp. In our Sunday school, let's make it sharp. Employees, staff member here, it's time to look in your office. It's time to look for the piles. It's time to look for closets. Let's go through the closets. And we'll work on some of that stuff here. So your places of responsibility. Now, let me give you the last one. Number four, remove the rubbish from your finances. And I know this is a lot, but folks, I promise you this is a huge key. And we're going to give you more individualized training on some of this stuff. Remove the rubbish from your finances. Just like you go through a year's time, and if you're not careful, we pick up rubbish throughout the year when it comes to our schedule. We also pick up rubbish when it comes to our finances. And so take a quick look at this. Next time, whenever you sit down this month to pay the bills, or the next time you sit down to pay the bills, take a look at your finances. Just do an overview. Gentlemen, do a quick overview of it. Are you paying a monthly bill for something you really don't need? And if you are, it's time to get rid of that. Okay, put it up for sale. I'd rather take a loss on something and eliminate a monthly bill than keep paying for something that I really don't need. And so if you can, as much as possible, liquidate that. Take a look at your situation. When you're paying the bills that you have to pay, every January, this is a wise thing to do. Okay, preacher, I've got to pay these bills. Well, take a look at them. How can you reduce that bill? How can you reduce that bill? Well, we've got this insurance bill. When's the last time you got a different quote? Okay, never become a friend to an insurance agent. Because then you're going to think, I mean, you can be friendly to them. But excuse me, he's in business and so am I. He's in this to make money. I'm in this to save money. Okay, so I like the guy, but you know what? I'll go with somebody else. You know, be careful that you, well, I'm using a family member. That was a mistake. Okay? Sit down with the family member and say, hey, you know what? I'm glad you're my cousin or uncle or aunt or whoever. But you know what? Right now, I'm just a customer. And we need to get this down to this. And if you can't, I know somebody who can. So sharpen your pencil. And you'd be surprised what people will do sharpening their pencil. It's time to call AT&T or Sprint or Verizon. And amazing how they just creep things up and say, you know what? I think I'm not paying this. We're not doing this anymore. This is too high. So sharpen your pencil, because I've got other companies begging for me to come. All right? What I'm saying is, you know what? Hey, you work hard for your money. And I'm not interested. Listen, I know everybody out there needs to make a living, but I don't want them to make a living just off me. And so sharpen your pencils, be tough, be kind to people, be Christian, but be tough. Pay what bills are you paying that you can have reduced? Which debt, here's a great thought for you to put in your mind. Which debt are you the closest to paying off? Now, let me just throw this at you. Is it possible you could pay it off this month? Some of you say, you know what? I don't know. Well, preacher, how could I? By reducing the spending in the other areas I just told you? By eliminating a bill that you don't really need, shouldn't have? By selling something? You just cleaned out your garage. What can you sell? Okay, do you want to have that for another 12 months? Or could you this month and maybe this month and next? Preacher, I got one thing, it's just $1,000 or $1,200. I don't have that. You might. You might look around you. You might be able to flip something. Well, I got pulled something out of my garage, but it's not worth anything. What would you have to do to it to make it worth something? A little elbow grease? A little sanding job? A little restaining? Okay? I mean, folks, the most popular things out there right now are refurbished, reclaimed. Okay, before you throw it on the junk pile, maybe you want to put it over here in the project pile. Something you were going to throw away, you turn into a $50 bill or $75. They don't make $75 bills. $75, $100 bill, something that's, yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised. So take a look at it, okay? And just try to, now, okay, I'm done. Say, preacher, why go to the effort? Watch this. I want you to turn your hearts towards home. And doing what I'm telling you as far as removing the rubbish, it removes frustration. Okay, if your wife is constantly frustrated over her home situation, you need to help her with it. And that doesn't mean, ladies, that you have him do it for you, but you sit down with her and you help her. First of all, and make sure she has the resources and the organization, the shelves and things to get the job done. And then help her through the process of it. But ladies, listen to me. You need to learn to get things organized and then keep them organized. Okay? Some of you got this thing where you're going to bed. And you know what you say as you look around before you go to bed? Oh, I'm tired. I'll just deal with that tomorrow. How many tomorrows has that been? Here's a good rule of thumb. You know what you do before you go to bed? You go to bed and leave your house in such a way where you're happy to wake up and see it. And it really doesn't take that much time to do it. Okay? Okay, and if you don't, the next night's going to be worse, and the next night's going to be worse, and the next night's. So when you take all the effort to get something organized, and gentlemen, that's the same way it is in our shops, in our garage, in everything. If you get it organized, you've got to be willing to walk out of there, be willing to stop before you walk out of there, and look around and say, if you don't put those two things that are left out up, they're going to be five things, then 12 things, then 15 things, and then you're back to where you were. And so remove the frustration of your life. It removes frustration, increases productivity, and it provides a peaceful, relaxing atmosphere. Okay? I walk in my outbuilding in my shop now, and when I do, I smile. And that wasn't always the case. We walk into our home, you know what? We're glad to be there. It's a great place to be. And so I hope that these very practical things will help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we embark on a month, dear God, where we work at becoming more like you in this area of our life. Help us, dear God, to just follow through. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that some of the things that were given tonight were of a help. Bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.